Introduction to Protocol Development. At its core, protocol development is about crafting individualized treatment approaches tailored to the unique needs of each client. This introductory lecture aims to provide a foundational understanding of the framework and principles guiding these protocols. It is a critical step that ensures treatment is evidence-based, clinically sound, and adaptable to the dynamic needs of clients. The first step in protocol development is to establish a framework for clinical decision-making. This involves understanding where to place electrodes for training and deciding which EEG variables to train. Rather than offering rigid rules, this framework is a dynamic starting point. It encourages practitioners to engage critically with each case, using both clinical judgment and available evidence. Flexibility is paramount, as neurofeedback often involves adapting to the nuances of each individual's physiological and psychological profile. This flexibility ensures that the chosen methods are both scientifically validated and aligned with the client's specific goals. Functional causes of symptoms are increasingly recognized as pivotal in many cases. Consider this: symptoms like hyperactivity, sudden mood changes, or tics might not arise purely from psychological factors, but from underlying functional disruptions. These could include environmental exposures, neuroinflammatory conditions, or gut-brain axis imbalances. Practitioners are encouraged to collaborate with neurologists and functional medicine specialists to explore these possibilities. For instance, neuroinflammatory markers, such as focal slowing or spindling excessive beta activity, can be detected in raw EEG readings and signal deeper physiological issues. Red flags, such as exponentially worsening symptoms or abnormal EEG patterns, often signal the need for deeper investigation. For example, a child with an unusually low amplitude or peak frequency for their age might be experiencing underlying neurophysiological disturbances. These findings prompt the need for additional assessments, such as blood tests, to identify potential causes like neuroinflammation or heavy metal toxicity. Moreover, environmental exposures, such as mold or pesticide residues, could necessitate intervention before neurofeedback protocols can achieve their full potential. Personalized medicine, testing, and addressing the organ directly affected is gaining traction in neurofeedback. EEG biomarker identification represents a significant step forward in this realm. It enables practitioners to tailor interventions to specific brain activities, potentially revolutionizing treatment outcomes. This approach moves beyond merely managing symptoms to addressing the root causes of dysfunction. For example, identifying specific EEG biomarkers allows for the creation of custom training protocols that directly target the brain areas and frequencies involved in a client's condition. Collaborative care is another cornerstone of protocol development. By working with integrative medicine professionals, practitioners can ensure that clients receive holistic care. For instance, if mold toxicity is suspected, a functional medicine expert can guide detoxification protocols while the neurofeedback practitioner monitors progress through EEG changes. This shared responsibility allows each professional to focus on their area of expertise, creating a seamless care pathway for clients. This collaboration not only enhances treatment outcomes, but also strengthens the client's trust in the multidisciplinary approach. This approach requires practitioners to remain informed and adaptable. The rapidly evolving field of neurofeedback benefits from continuous advancements in technology and research. For example, recent innovations in real-time EEG analysis have enhanced the ability to detect subtle changes in brain activity, allowing practitioners to fine-tune protocols with greater precision. Staying up to date with these advancements ensures that practitioners can offer the most effective and cutting-edge care. Ultimately, the goal of this framework is to empower practitioners to make informed, evidence-based decisions. By identifying red flags, collaborating with other specialists, and using EEG biomarkers, practitioners can refine their approach to neurofeedback. This introductory session sets the stage for the in-depth exploration of assessment, treatment protocols, and clinical examples in subsequent lectures. The journey into protocol development is not just about mastering techniques, but also about cultivating a holistic understanding of the client's needs and the tools available to address them. Comprehensive assessment in protocol development. The foundation of effective neurofeedback lies in comprehensive assessment. In this lecture, we delve into the multifaceted processes involved in understanding a client's needs and conditions, setting the stage for tailored treatment protocols. A thorough assessment not only guides initial protocol selection, but also provides the benchmarks against which progress is measured. Assessment begins at intake, where a client's history is meticulously gathered. This includes personal, medical, and psychological histories, as well as current symptoms and goals. Practitioners often use standardized questionnaires, self-reports, and behavioral observations to capture a holistic view of the client. For example, a parent's description of a child's classroom behavior might provide invaluable context that complements objective EEG data. This initial phase helps build a rapport with the client and sets expectations for the neurofeedback process. EEG assessment is a cornerstone of this process. It involves measuring brain activity to identify patterns associated with the client's symptoms. Practitioners analyze variables such as amplitude, peak frequency, and connectivity. For instance, a child with ADHD might display excess theta activity in central regions, suggesting a need for theta to beta ratio training. EEG findings are then compared to normative databases to identify deviations that might indicate dysfunctions or abnormalities. This step is crucial for establishing a baseline against which future changes can be evaluated. Ongoing assessment is equally critical. Neurofeedback is not a static process. It evolves based on client responses. Regular check-ins and follow-up EEGs help track progress and refine protocols. For example, if a client's anxiety symptoms persist despite initial training, a practitioner might shift focus to another frequency band or brain region based on updated findings. This iterative process ensures that the training remains effective and aligned with the client's evolving needs. The assessment process also highlights the importance of considering peripheral psychophysiological measures. Heart rate variability, skin conductance, and muscle tension can provide additional insights into a client's physiological state. These measures often complement EEG findings, providing a more comprehensive understanding of the client's overall condition. For example, heart rate variability data might reveal chronic stress patterns that warrant additional interventions, such as relaxation training or mindfulness exercises. Collaboration with other professionals enhances the assessment process. Neurologists may identify biomarkers such as spindling beta activity or epileptiform discharges, while functional medicine practitioners investigate environmental toxins or nutritional deficiencies. Such interdisciplinary approaches ensure that all potential contributing factors are considered. For instance, a functional medicine practitioner might identify dietary imbalances that exacerbate a client's symptoms, enabling a more comprehensive treatment plan. Ethical considerations are integral to assessment. Clients must provide informed consent, fully understanding the purpose and scope of the evaluations. Practitioners should also remain transparent about the limitations of neurofeedback, emphasizing its role as a training tool rather than a cure. This transparency fosters trust and empowers clients to participate in their treatment journey actively. By integrating data from multiple sources, practitioners can formulate a comprehensive picture of the client's condition. This foundation paves the way for the development of targeted treatment protocols, which we will explore in the next lecture. Comprehensive assessment is not merely a diagnostic tool. It is the bedrock upon which all subsequent interventions are built, ensuring that each client receives personalized and effective care. Crafting treatment protocols. Effective treatment protocols are the backbone of neurofeedback practice. This lecture explores how to design, implement, and adjust these protocols to achieve optimal client outcomes. It is a dynamic process that requires a balance of evidence-based practices, clinical expertise, and adaptability to individual client needs. Treatment protocols begin with clear goals, which are informed by the comprehensive assessment process. These goals might include reducing specific symptoms, such as anxiety or impulsivity, or enhancing cognitive abilities like attention and memory. For instance, a client with depression might aim to achieve more balanced prefrontal alpha activity, while a child with ADHD might focus on reducing central theta excess. A client with language processing issues and/or nonverbal communication difficulties may need targeted training to improve communication between multiple locations that combine to provide these skills. Disrupted communication between important brain centers can result in memory formation and retrieval deficits, as well as timing and integration issues. Training to regulate phase and coherence relationships can address many of these types of concerns. These goals serve as the roadmap for the entire training process. Early protocols often prioritize simplicity. Single-channel training, targeting a specific frequency band at a single site, is a common starting point. This approach allows practitioners to monitor the client's response and adjust as needed. For example, a client with anxiety might begin with training to reduce high beta activity at a right frontal site. Starting with simple approaches helps both the practitioner and client understand the initial effects of neurofeedback and establish a baseline for progress. As treatment progresses, protocols may become more complex. Multi-channel or Z-score training can address broader patterns of dysregulation. For example, 19-channel Loretta training might be used to normalize connectivity within the default mode network for a client with depression. Such advanced techniques require careful planning and ongoing monitoring to ensure effectiveness. They also demand a deep understanding of functional neuroanatomy and the relationships between brain regions and behaviors. Ethical considerations remain paramount in the development of protocols. Practitioners should base their decisions on sound evidence, ensuring that the chosen protocols are likely to benefit the client. Transparency with clients about the rationale for specific protocols fosters trust and collaboration. For instance, explaining the choice of electrode placement and training parameters helps clients feel more engaged and informed about their treatment. Trends in neurofeedback research continue to influence the development of protocols. Advances in technology, such as real-time functional MRI neurofeedback, offer exciting possibilities for targeting deeper brain structures. Staying informed about these trends ensures that practitioners remain at the forefront of the field. For example, the integration of AI in analyzing EEG data has enhanced the precision and speed of protocol adjustments, enabling more responsive and personalized training. The adaptability of protocols is also crucial. Each client's progress is unique, and what works for one individual might not work for another. Regular reassessment and the willingness to modify protocols are essential. For instance, if a client's symptoms plateau, introducing new training parameters or shifting focus to a different brain region might reinvigorate progress. Ultimately, crafting treatment protocols is both a science and an art. It requires a balance of evidence-based practices, clinical expertise, and a deep understanding of each client's unique needs. This lecture provides a foundation for implementing these protocols, which we will explore in greater detail in the next session. By mastering the art of protocol development, practitioners can unlock the full potential of neurofeedback to transform lives. Implementing treatment protocols. Designing a protocol is only the first step. Successful implementation is where theory meets practice. In this lecture, we focus on the critical aspects of implementing neurofeedback protocols. The transition from planning to execution requires meticulous attention to detail and a strong focus on client engagement. Client preparation is essential. Before training begins, practitioners must ensure that clients understand the process and its goals. This includes managing expectations and emphasizing the active role clients play in their own progress. Neurofeedback is a training tool, not a passive treatment, and success often hinges on the client's engagement. For example, clients who actively practice mindfulness or relaxation techniques between sessions often experience faster and more sustained improvements. The therapeutic relationship also plays a pivotal role. Trust and collaboration between the practitioner and client create a supportive environment that enhances training outcomes. For example, practitioners who are attuned to their clients' experiences can better adjust protocols to suit individual needs. A client who feels heard and understood is more likely to remain committed to the training process, even when progress is slow or challenges arise. During implementation, practitioners must meticulously monitor client responses. This involves not only tracking changes in EEG patterns, but also observing behavioral and psychological shifts. For example, A client undergoing alpha-theta training might report feeling calmer and more focused, signaling the effectiveness of the protocol. Conversely, signs of overtraining, such as increased irritability or fatigue, require immediate adjustments to prevent setbacks. Alpha-theta training, often used for anxiety or trauma, is a powerful technique that rewards the client for achieving a specific state of brain activity. This type of training requires careful calibration to ensure that clients are neither under nor overtrained. Practitioners must be vigilant for signs of overarousal or fatigue, which can undermine progress. For example, a client experiencing vivid, distressing dreams during alpha-theta training might benefit from adjustments to the reward thresholds or frequencies or a temporary shift to more stabilizing protocols. Remote training has gained popularity in recent years, offering flexibility for clients who cannot attend in-person sessions. However, it presents unique challenges, such as ensuring that clients adhere to the training schedule and use the equipment correctly. Regular virtual check-ins can help address these challenges and maintain the integrity of the training process. Practitioners may also need to troubleshoot technical issues remotely, ensuring that clients receive the same quality of care as they would in a clinic. Ethical considerations guide every aspect of treatment implementation. Practitioners must ensure that protocols are implemented in a manner that respects the client's autonomy and well-being. This includes providing clear explanations, obtaining informed consent, and adjusting training as needed to address any adverse effects. For instance, if a client reports discomfort with a specific feedback modality, alternative options should be explored to maintain engagement and comfort. By focusing on these aspects, practitioners can ensure that treatment protocols are implemented effectively, paving the way for meaningful client progress. The next lecture will bring these concepts to life through detailed case studies. Implementation is not just about following a plan. It is about dynamically responding to the client's needs, fostering a collaborative partnership, and continually striving for the best possible outcomes. Learning from clinical examples. Clinical examples offer invaluable insights into the real-world application of neurofeedback. This lecture examines several case studies that highlight the diverse ways in which neurofeedback protocols address underlying causes of dysfunction. These examples not only illustrate the potential of neurofeedback, but also underscore the importance of a comprehensive and adaptable approach. Consider the case of a 40-year-old woman with cognitive decline and anxiety. Traditional treatments had limited success until mold toxicity was identified as a root cause. Detoxification protocols, combined with neurofeedback to enhance cognitive function, led to remarkable improvements. This case underscores the importance of addressing environmental factors alongside neurofeedback. The practitioner's ability to identify mold exposure and tailor the protocol accordingly was instrumental in the client's recovery. Another compelling example involves a 10-year-old boy diagnosed with ADHD. High levels of glyphosate were discovered due to agricultural exposure. A functional medicine approach reduced toxin levels while neurofeedback targeted theta/beta ratio imbalances. The synergy between these interventions enabled the boy to reduce his reliance on stimulant medication. This case underscores the importance of integrating environmental assessments into the neurofeedback process, particularly for children experiencing unexplained behavioral issues. In cases of chronic inflammatory response syndrome, CRS, neurofeedback plays a supportive role. For a 35-year-old man with fatigue and brain fog, addressing biotoxin exposure through detoxification was key. Neurofeedback complemented these efforts by targeting coherence abnormalities, improving his energy and cognitive function. This example highlights the importance of incorporating neurofeedback into a multidisciplinary approach, which addresses both the physiological and neurological aspects of the condition. Psychiatric symptoms often have underlying medical causes. A 28-year-old woman with severe anxiety was found to have Lyme disease. Antibiotic therapy effectively addressed the infection, while neurofeedback focused on regulating overactive beta activity, resulting in a significant reduction of her symptoms. This case illustrates how neurofeedback can augment the efficacy of medical treatments by modulating the brain's response to underlying infections. Neurofeedback is also effective in managing developmental disorders. A 6-year-old boy with autism spectrum disorder experienced behavioral improvements after gut dysbiosis was treated. Neurofeedback further supported his progress by targeting sensory integration issues. By addressing both the neurological and physiological aspects of his condition, the practitioner was able to facilitate significant gains in the child's communication and social skills. Each case demonstrates the versatility and adaptability of neurofeedback. These examples reinforce the importance of comprehensive assessments, interdisciplinary collaboration, and individualized protocols. The diversity of conditions addressed, from environmental toxin exposure to developmental disorders, illustrates the wide-ranging applications of neurofeedback. Learning from these examples allows practitioners to refine their approach and enhance outcomes for future clients. Each case represents not just a success story, but also a learning opportunity, offering valuable insights into the challenges and possibilities of neurofeedback. This lecture concludes the first series, emphasizing the critical interplay between science, clinical expertise, and the art of individualized care in neurofeedback. A neurofeedback decision-making framework. The practice of neurofeedback thrives on evidence-based and systematic approaches. This lecture explores the decision-making framework that practitioners use to develop and refine treatment protocols. The framework is designed to integrate scientific evidence, clinical expertise, and individual client needs into a cohesive strategy for addressing diverse conditions. Central to the framework is the principle of targeted intervention. This begins with the identification of the client's core psychological or behavioral problem. For example, a child with ADHD might present with distractibility and impulsivity, while an adult with anxiety might report pervasive worry and difficulty relaxing. By clearly defining the problem, the practitioner lays the foundation for a focused and effective intervention. The next step involves understanding the client's EEG patterns. This includes analyzing the location and parameters of abnormal brain activity. For instance, excess theta activity in central regions might be indicative of ADHD, while elevated high beta activity in the right frontal region could be associated with anxiety. These findings guide the selection of electrode placement and frequency bands for training. Additional diagnostic tools further inform the decision-making process. Peripheral assessments, such as heart rate variability or skin conductance, provide insights into the client's physiological state. Moreover, tests for environmental toxins, nutritional deficiencies, or neuroinflammation can uncover underlying contributors to the client's symptoms. For example, heavy metal toxicity might exacerbate ADHD symptoms, necessitating a combined approach of neurofeedback and detoxification. Scientific evidence plays a pivotal role in protocol selection. Practitioners rely on research findings that link specific EEG patterns with particular conditions. For instance, studies have shown the efficacy of theta/beta ratio training for ADHD and alpha-theta training for trauma-related disorders. These evidence-based practices ensure that the chosen protocols have a strong foundation in clinical research. Client-specific factors also shape the decision-making process. Personal goals, values, and preferences must be considered. For example, a client who values non-invasive treatments might prefer neurofeedback over pharmacological interventions. Practitioners should engage clients in discussions about their options, ensuring that they are fully informed and active participants in their care. The decision-making framework is inherently dynamic. As training progresses, practitioners must continuously evaluate the client's response and adjust protocols accordingly. This iterative process involves regular EEG assessments, behavioral observations, and client feedback. For instance, if a client shows improvement in anxiety symptoms but develops new challenges with focus, the practitioner might modify the protocol to address this shift. Ethical considerations are integral to the framework. Practitioners must provide transparent explanations of their decisions, obtain informed consent, and prioritize the client's well-being. For example, if a protocol leads to adverse effects, such as increased fatigue or irritability, immediate adjustments are necessary to mitigate harm. Interdisciplinary collaboration enhances the effectiveness of the decision-making framework. By consulting with neurologists, functional medicine practitioners, and other specialists, practitioners can address the full spectrum of factors influencing the client's condition. For example, a neurologist might identify focal abnormalities that require targeted neurofeedback, while a functional medicine practitioner might address underlying inflammatory processes. This collaboration promotes a holistic approach, ensuring that all aspects of the client's health are taken into account. The adaptability of this framework is one of its greatest strengths. Neurofeedback is a dynamic field, and each client's journey is unique. Practitioners must be prepared to pivot when initial protocols do not yield the expected results. This flexibility often leads to breakthroughs, as practitioners refine their approach based on real-time data and client feedback. For example, a client with unresolved insomnia might benefit from a shift in training focus from beta suppression to enhancing slow-wave sleep activity. Ultimately, the neurofeedback decision-making framework is about integrating knowledge, technology, and empathy. It empowers practitioners to navigate the complexities of brain function and dysfunction, offering clients tailored interventions that address their unique needs. This lecture provides a robust foundation for understanding how decisions are made in neurofeedback, emphasizing the balance of science and art in this transformative practice. Moving forward, we will explore how this framework is applied in treatment protocols and how it evolves with advancements in neurofeedback research and technology. Factors to consider in protocol development. Protocol development in neurofeedback is not just about the science of EEG. It encompasses a wide range of factors that influence the efficacy and appropriateness of treatment. This lecture will explore key considerations such as the client's condition, goals, resources, cultural background, and the practitioner's expertise, all of which shape the final protocol design. These factors are interconnected, and their careful evaluation leads to protocols that are not only effective but also respectful of the client's unique circumstances. Client condition and goals. The foundation of any protocol is the client's unique condition and their therapeutic goals. A practitioner must comprehensively evaluate the client's physical, emotional, and cognitive state. For instance, a client presenting with chronic pain might have underlying stress or trauma-related conditions that exacerbate their experience of pain. Their goal may extend beyond pain relief to include improved sleep or reduced anxiety. By understanding these nuanced objectives, a practitioner can develop a protocol that addresses both symptoms and their underlying causes. EEG data provides invaluable insight into the client's brain activity, highlighting areas of dysregulation. However, this must be interpreted in conjunction with self-reported symptoms and behavioral observations. For example, if a client with PTSD demonstrates heightened high beta activity, the practitioner might prioritize protocols aimed at reducing this overactivity. Aligning treatment with the client's personal goals ensures that they remain engaged and motivated throughout the process. Client goals are not static and can evolve over time. For example, a client initially seeking to reduce symptoms of anxiety might later aim to enhance cognitive performance once their anxiety is under control. Neurofeedback practitioners must remain flexible, revisiting and adapting goals as progress unfolds. This iterative process strengthens the therapeutic alliance and ensures that treatment remains relevant and impactful. In some cases, clients may have conflicting goals that require careful navigation. For instance, a parent may wish for their child to improve classroom focus, while the child prioritizes reducing test-taking anxiety. Practitioners must mediate these differences, ensuring that the primary focus of neurofeedback aligns with the client's immediate needs while addressing long-term objectives collaboratively. Research findings. Evidence-based practice is critical to the credibility and effectiveness of neurofeedback. Practitioners must stay informed about the latest research and its applications to various conditions. For example, studies validating alpha-theta training for addiction recovery underscore its effectiveness for managing cravings and promoting emotional regulation. This knowledge not only guides protocol selection, but also builds client trust by demonstrating that their treatment is grounded in science. Research findings also illuminate the nuances of protocol application. For instance, while studies may demonstrate broad efficacy for a particular neurofeedback method, individual differences, such as age, gender, or comorbidities, can influence outcomes. A client with ADHD and a history of epilepsy might require modified training approaches compared to a neurotypical peer with ADHD. Practitioners must critically appraise research to ensure that protocols are not only evidence-based, but also appropriately tailored to individual needs. Advances in research also expand the range of conditions that can be treated with neurofeedback. New studies frequently validate the use of neurofeedback for emerging applications, such as enhancing creativity or improving athletic performance. Staying current with these advancements enables practitioners to broaden their scope and offer innovative solutions to clients seeking cutting-edge interventions. Environmental context. The client's environment has a significant influence on neurofeedback outcomes. Stressful home or work environments, exposure to environmental toxins, or inadequate social support can hinder progress. Practitioners must consider these factors when designing protocols. For example, a client living in a high-stress household may benefit from sessions focused on increasing resilience, such as heart rate variability biofeedback. Environmental stressors can also lead to physiological dysregulation, which complicates neurofeedback progress. Clients exposed to chronic noise pollution or poor air quality may exhibit heightened levels of beta activity or struggle to achieve relaxation states. Addressing these environmental factors holistically, through recommendations for lifestyle changes or supportive therapies, can enhance the efficacy of neurofeedback interventions. The social environment also plays a pivotal role. Clients with robust social networks often progress faster due to the emotional support they receive. Conversely, those experiencing isolation or relationship challenges may face additional barriers. Practitioners can address these issues by incorporating strategies that strengthen interpersonal resilience, such as mindfulness exercises or family therapy recommendations. Available resources. The practicality of neurofeedback depends on accessibility. Factors like the client's financial situation, availability of equipment, and the time they can commit to training impact the choice of protocols. For instance, clients with limited access to equipment might rely on simpler single-channel training protocols, while those with greater resources could benefit from more complex Z-score training. Financial constraints should not preclude access to effective neurofeedback interventions. Creative solutions, such as shorter session durations or the use of portable neurofeedback devices, can make training more affordable without compromising results. Practitioners should work collaboratively with clients to identify sustainable approaches that align with their financial capacity. Time constraints also influence protocol design. A busy professional might struggle to attend regular in-clinic sessions, benefiting instead from home-based neurofeedback options. Ensuring that protocols accommodate the client's schedule enhances adherence and long-term outcomes. Practitioner expertise. Finally, the success of any neurofeedback protocol depends on the practitioner's expertise. Familiarity with different EEG patterns, knowledge of advanced neurofeedback technologies, and the ability to adapt protocols in real time are essential skills. Continuous professional development and collaboration with peers enhance these capabilities, ensuring practitioners remain at the forefront of the field. One practice that enhances practitioner expertise is regular self-training or training with a fellow practitioner. This allows the clinician to experience the effects of various protocols so they can more easily communicate with the client regarding strategies for success. This practice is also a requirement for certification, ensuring that practitioners have personal experience with the training approaches they are offering. Practitioner expertise also encompasses interpersonal skills. Building rapport, actively listening to clients, and fostering a supportive therapeutic environment are equally critical to successful outcomes. Clients who feel understood and respected are more likely to engage fully with the training process, amplifying the potential for meaningful change. Decision-making and ongoing problem-solving. Neurofeedback is a dynamic process that requires continuous evaluation and adjustment. This lecture examines the decision-making strategies practitioners employ to address challenges and optimize outcomes for their clients. Biopsychosocial approach. The biopsychosocial model provides a holistic framework for understanding the client's condition. By integrating biological, psychological, and social factors, practitioners can develop a comprehensive treatment strategy. For example, a A client with anxiety might benefit from reducing frontal high beta activity while also engaging in mindfulness training and addressing relationship stressors. The flexibility of the biopsychosocial approach allows for real-time adjustments. If a client with chronic pain demonstrates significant improvements in EEG metrics but reports no change in pain perception, the practitioner might incorporate additional psychological interventions or explore social factors contributing to their experience of pain. Reassessment and protocol adjustments. Progress in neurofeedback is rarely linear. Regular reassessments are crucial to ensure that protocols remain effective. Practitioners use follow-up EEGs, behavioral observations, and client feedback to evaluate progress. If a client's symptoms plateau, adjustments such as modifying frequency bands or exploring alternative electrode placements may be necessary. Reassessment also provides opportunities to refine goals. For instance, a client who initially sought to alleviate insomnia may, after achieving improved sleep, wish to focus on enhancing cognitive performance. Periodic reviews ensure that protocols evolve in tandem with the client's progress and aspirations. Addressing adverse responses. Occasionally, clients may experience negative responses to neurofeedback, such as fatigue, irritability, or heightened anxiety. Identifying these reactions early and modifying the protocol accordingly is essential. For instance, reducing session duration or adjusting reward thresholds can alleviate adverse effects while maintaining progress. Collaborative problem solving. Involving clients in the decision-making process fosters collaboration and empowers them to take an active role in their treatment. Practitioners should communicate openly about potential adjustments and seek input on their experiences. This partnership enhances trust and ensures that protocols are tailored to the client's needs. Flowchart for protocol development. Flowcharts offer a structured approach to navigating the complexities of protocol development. This lecture will explore how to use flowcharts effectively to guide decision-making and streamline the treatment process. Key questions for decision-making. Flowcharts break down the decision-making process into manageable steps, each guided by a specific question. For example, practitioners might ask, does the client exhibit symptoms of dysregulation in alpha activity? A positive answer would direct the practitioner to alpha enhancement protocols, while a negative response might suggest further assessment of other frequency bands. Incorporating flexibility. While flowcharts provide structure, they must remain flexible to accommodate individual differences. Practitioners should view them as guidelines rather than rigid rules. For instance, if a client's symptoms do not align neatly with flowchart categories, practitioners should adapt the process to address their unique presentation. Enhancing communication. Flowcharts also serve as valuable communication tools. Sharing these visual aids with clients helps demystify the neurofeedback process, fostering transparency and understanding. Clients who grasp the rationale behind their treatment are more likely to remain engaged and committed. From assessment to training. The transition from assessment to training is a pivotal phase in neurofeedback. This lecture examines how practitioners translate data into actionable training protocols, ensuring that each session is tailored to the client's needs. Transitioning from data to protocols. After completing a thorough assessment, practitioners synthesize data from EEG readings, behavioral observations, and client history to develop training protocols. For example, a client with high frontal theta activity and difficulty focusing might begin with theta suppression training to enhance attentional control. Client involvement in the process. Engaging clients in the transition process ensures that they understand the rationale behind their protocols. Practitioners should explain how the chosen training targets align with the client's goals, reinforcing their active role in the neurofeedback journey. Examples of training protocols. Real-world examples illustrate the effectiveness of tailored protocols. A child with ADHD, for instance, might experience significant improvements in focus and behavior following central beta enhancement training. Similarly, an adult with chronic stress could benefit from alpha-theta training to promote relaxation and emotional regulation. By integrating assessment data, client input, and evidence-based practices, practitioners can ensure that the transition from evaluation to training is both seamless and impactful. This process underscores the personalized nature of neurofeedback and its potential to transform lives. Conclusion. The intricate process of protocol development and neurofeedback requires a delicate balance between scientific rigor, individualized care, and ethical practice. Across the field, several themes emerge that underscore the transformative potential of neurofeedback when implemented thoughtfully. First and foremost, the personalization of treatment protocols stands out as a cornerstone. Every client's condition, goals, and environmental context are unique, and tailoring the approach to fit these specificities ensures that neurofeedback is both effective and meaningful. The emphasis on continuous reassessment and adaptability highlights the dynamic nature of neurofeedback. Protocols are not static. They evolve as the client's needs and responses shift. This iterative process ensures that interventions remain relevant and responsive, fostering long-term engagement and success. It also underscores the importance of practitioner vigilance and flexibility, traits that are pivotal for navigating the complexities of human behavior and brain function. Collaboration emerges as another vital theme. Whether it involves interdisciplinary partnerships with functional medicine practitioners or active engagement with clients in decision-making, collaboration enriches the treatment process. Clients who feel involved in their care are more likely to remain committed, while input from other professionals broadens the scope of possibilities, addressing underlying factors that might otherwise go unnoticed. The integration of research and practice further enhances the credibility and efficacy of neurofeedback. Staying abreast of scientific advancements allows practitioners to refine their methods and explore innovative applications. This commitment to evidence-based practice not only ensures optimal outcomes, but also strengthens the trust clients place in their care providers. Ethical considerations are woven throughout neurofeedback practices, reminding practitioners of their responsibility to prioritize the client's well-being above all. Transparency, informed consent, and the willingness to address adverse responses promptly are hallmarks of ethical neurofeedback practice. These principles safeguard the client's autonomy and foster a therapeutic environment grounded in respect and trust. Ultimately, neurofeedback is as much an art as it is a science. The practitioner's expertise, intuition, and ability to connect with clients play as significant a role as the data-driven aspects of protocol development. By integrating these elements, neurofeedback practitioners can unlock the profound potential of this modality, guiding clients toward transformative changes in their cognitive, emotional, and physical well-being. This conclusion serves as a reflection on the intricate interplay of factors that shape protocol development, reminding us that the journey of neurofeedback is one of continuous learning, adaptation, and collaboration. As practitioners refine their skills and deepen their understanding, the field of neurofeedback will undoubtedly continue to expand its horizons, offering new possibilities for healing and growth.